Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is the Best Ever You show with Elizabeth Hamilton and Dr. Katie Eastman. And we have the great fortune of having Wall Street's rock star with us today, Miss Natalie Pace. We're so thankful that you're here with us today. Hello.
Hi. How are you guys?
We're great. I'm just wondering, while you're doing this interview, do you have your sunglasses on?
Well, I always have glasses on because I am basically blind without them, and I try to make them fashionable.
That's too funny. All right. Well, we only have an hour, and I know we could schedule probably about 10 days with you if we really wanted to, because, you know, finances are something that, you know, we could really go on and on and on about. And I think what we really wanted to talk to you about today was just some of your book, really. Natalie's written this wonderful book called You Versus Wall Street, and it's available really everywhere, isn't it, Natalie?
Yeah, but, you know, some of these online retailers have actually got them on sale for $6 and change. So I would recommend that you kind of tool around between some of the big e-tailers if you're interested in a bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. But the basis of this book, you know, it's called, you know, a must-read financial Bible. And I agree, but when people say must-read financial Bible, what is one thing that you could say to our listeners that would make anybody scared of money go pick up your book and not be scared anymore? Because money's a really tough topic.
Well, I'll tell you a thread that recently got a lot of attention on my Facebook page. And just FYI, that's facebook.com/NWPace. And that was, you know, a lot of people are very disgruntled with banks. And they're like, hey, the bank just upped my credit card interest rate to 28%. And the bank is dinging me $28 if I overdraft. And by the way, all my friends are losing their homes. And what most Americans don't realize is that we actually own banks. So a number of years ago when Nike had child labor stitching their shoes, investors got together and protested it, and Nike stopped. So one of the things that I think people should be aware of is that you don't have to be an investor in banks. You don't have to own the big banks. You could actually support as a customer your local credit union or the small, you know, your local bank. And very easily, you could actually switch your allocations a little bit so that you weren't supporting the banks. If you don't like a company's policies, I guarantee you, if in mass people stop giving them their investment dollars and their consumer dollars, that entity would wake up and they would be forced to change their business practices or lose the investment to a better bank that came in with policies that customers liked.
You know, Natalie, that's an excellent point, and I recently had an experience like that where I actually had the flip side. I had a good experience with a local community bank. I had made some mistakes and hadn't read something correctly, and long story short, a few of my checks bounced, and they called me to let me know that something had happened, and they gave me the opportunity to make good on the checks, to go into the bank. They personally walked me through it. And they saved me over $150 in fines. And I really want to emphasize exactly what you just said. The community banks, the community organizations, and the community small business company banks, they can be really helpful to people. And I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I guess I should say as well, you know, because everybody gets scared or they don't want to make changes because they don't know what to do and they don't know who to trust, and they've really been burned by everybody that they may have trusted. And what I'd like to say, and this is a quote from TD Ameritrade Chairman Joe Moglia, and that's that most people, if you have under $1 million in assets and you're just going to your local broker, that broker may have 500 clients. Plus, they can't recommend anything to you that doesn't come down from the top, from the analysts. So, in essence, everybody across America is in a position where they have to manage their own stuff. So the must-read financial Bible isn't really an option anymore. This is an education, actually, that you should have gotten in high school. And by reading the book, you get exposed to it. if you come to my retreat for 3 days, I mean, people are mastering it. I had a school teacher. She was semi-retired. Her broker had lost half of her nest egg. She came to a retreat, and the following year she made 49% gains. And you know some of your favorite friends that you've featured on the cover of Best Ever You, Brianna Brown. She came to a retreat, started the Green Goddess Investment Club, and their first year, they didn't know, they really, you know, I joke, and it's just a joke. I said they didn't know how to spell prosperity. They did, of course, but, yeah. You know, they didn't really know anything about the stock market. Their first year, they made 59% gains. So
wow.
What I'm here to tell you is that a little wisdom can add up really big.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned these retreats. What exactly is a retreat with Natalie Pace? Where would one go for that, and what is that?
Well, I think all your main listeners will like this because, first and foremost, it's in Santa Monica. The next one's in February, so you can make
yes,
this a vacation.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. There you go. And we do so much learning during the day that at night we do fun stuff. So some of the learning we do actually on the beach, so you're enjoying the location. We do some other learning at the Getty Center, and then we do a lot of boardroom learning. But basically, you learn easy as a pie chart nest egg strategies that work in bull and bear markets. And this allows you to be a good partner. I call it be the architect of your money, because no one cares about it as much as you do. And then you can hire a contractor to help you. You can ask your accountant, what's the most tax retirement plans that I qualify for? You can ask a broker if you aren't comfortable trading on your own to help you do the trades. You know, you can be the architect and you can be in charge, and then you never have to say, he lost me or she lost my money for me. You're the one that's in charge of it. And if you don't think what's going on is right, then you can force the change to make it right.
Mm-hmm. So to get to one of your retreats, how does one sign up, and what's the website for that? Do you have special discounts for our listeners or anything like that that would, you know, entice somebody, you know, I don't know, from Maine to California? I'm just kidding. In February.
Well, you know, we love Best Ever You. We love what you're doing over there. So I would be happy to offer 2 free gifts for your listeners. So let's start here. Go to nataliepace.com. There's a big banner ad that says Get Rich and Then Rich Retreat. Click on that. You can call 866-476-7442 to register, or you get more, you know, all of that information on that link. And, Elizabeth, basically, you know, you're going to get everything you need at the retreat, but we have 2 free gifts, and both of these gifts are worth the value and the cost of the retreat. The first one is if people sign up by the early bird deadline, and that's December 15th, they will receive a 50-minute private call with me, and that can be used anytime throughout the year. So they may go home, and they've got all this new wisdom, and in 3 to 4 months, something might happen that they have a question about, and then they can call in, and they can get that answered. And the second one is a 21-day coaching call series, and it basically is a helpful, not only in switching, I call it a walk to wealth series. It switches everything you do about money, but it also reminds you to implement the strategies that you learn at the retreat. So both of those, by the way, are not available any other way, and you have to register by December 15th in order to get those free gifts.
Okay.
And one last thing, I just want to give a warning. The November retreat, my last one, sold out within 24 hours of the early bird deadline. So if you're interested, go to the website now. Call us now.
Okay. Do you have to be a millionaire to attend something like that? You know, let's say it's just somebody who has just lost their job, has just lost their house, and needs your help. Do you deal with somebody like that, or is this a retreat filled with, you know, millionaires who need to manage their money better?
No, it's a retreat that's filled with everybody. In fact, we've had 2 men that have come to the retreat after losing everything, and both of them have already built up their nest eggs and built back up their income. In fact, one of our retreat attendees who came basically broke. He borrowed money to come, and he is now, you know, working with Adam Sandler for his income, so on some of those films. And he's doing great in his investments. So, again, it's and another person, this one's interesting. This person was a millionaire, but she was trapped by it because she inherited it. And she had a broker, and he was telling her a bunch of the sales sound bites. He lost a lot of money. He convinced her to pull out a lot of equity in her home and invested it and then lost the money. So she was still okay, but she felt very vulnerable. I mean, losing, you know, $300,000 overnight on somebody's recommendation can be really, you know, it can make you think, oh, my God, by next year I'm going to be broke. And she came to the retreat, and a lot of the changes she made was in real estate, and she has completely empowered herself. She now earns income on real estate. She invests, and she's getting that together in a big way. And she lives in a place that's bigger, closer to the beach, and it's less money than she was paying for the other place.
Nice. Definitely.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you a little bit about you're not a stock picker. I hear that often. You know, I don't do this. And frequently, when you hear of a financial person out there with a book or something like that, you think, oh, well, you know, they're a financial advisor and they're going to tell me to put all my money in this mutual fund or this stock or this and that. You're not like that. Can you explain who Natalie Pace is?
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. I'm just a former school teacher who got a divorce and knew that she wasn't going to be able to afford her home on that salary. And that, in fact, one of my new articles is on the homepage right now in the December evening. It talks about that transition. So, you know, we talked a little bit before one of your questions about if someone's in debt or they lost their home. The key here is if you focus only on debt, you're always going to be in debt. If you start the habit of saving and investing and you do 10% a year and that makes 10% a year, then you will have, within 7 years, you'll have more money in your assets in that retirement account than you make every year. And within 25 years, your money will make more money than you do. So I started thinking about that as a single mom and as a part-time school teacher trying to make ends meet. And I started figuring that if I could make money for me, that was my solution out of poverty because I really was ready to lose my home. Now, of course, over the years, I became very successful at investing. And then my girlfriends begged me to teach them what I know. And then I started meeting Steve Forbes and top economists and Nobel Prize winning economists, and I found out I had a real knack for it. So, but the root of all of this is not, I do not work for a brokerage. I don't sell mutual funds. I am completely, I say I'm Forbes, not Schwab, but I am completely someone from let's make this easy. Let's get this education out to everyone in America because, you know, 20 years ago the corporations did it for you. That's not the way it is anymore. So, again, this is an education you should have received in high school, and the faster you get it, the faster your money can make money for you.
So it sounds like, Natalie, one of the things from your book that you would give someone, like say someone's listening who is a single mom out there with two kids and just divorcing and trying to figure out, oh, my God, what do I do next? So it sounds like investing in that $6.50 book is a great place to start in building a new, and it also sounds like you do a lot with attitude change and shifting lifestyle. Am I right?
Yeah, I think, I think that the biggest word in the law of attraction is action. So I actually do habit change. So we at the retreat, we teach you how to change your habits, and it's not icky. it's not like you got to do without cafe lattes because for me that's part of my fun, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not there to say deprive yourself. What I'm here to say is that actually the big choices are the ones that count. The big choice to invest in your retirement first and set it up right and set it up on autopilot. Like I don't expect people to be day traders. I expect you to come. Take 3 days out of your life, get the information you should have gotten in high school, set up your nest egg on autopilot, start taking control and realizing that everybody around you, your accountant, your broker, all these people are your contractors. They're subcontractors to your life. You're the architect of your life. And then
right.
once that's all set up and you're the leader of your team, then you can have more time and more calmness, because money is really what creates havoc in homes. It's what creates havoc in the marriage. It's what creates havoc between your kids because, you know, I'm sorry, you can't have that ice cream. The kid starts wailing, you know. We've all been there, right?
Yeah. All right. So, we talked to a lot of people on the show, and we've had guests on here before who have talked about debt. And I do want to focus with you. I know you have answers to people who are in debt, and there are a lot of people right now in debt. There are people with massive credit cards. There are people taking loans against those 401ks and those retirement plans. What do you think about debt? And if you're in debt, how do you get out of debt?
Okay, I have to say, please go to the December e-zine on nataliepace.com and read my article. I'm so glad you asked this one. It's very timely. Don't rob Ira to pay Paul.
Yeah.
So a lot of, you know,
don't rob Ira to pay Paul.
Yes, that's the headline. That's the name of the article, and that's important. Yeah. And the key to everything is there. I mean, this could be a whole 50-minute show, and maybe we'll schedule one if you would like to talk about this. But the first and most important thing here is don't rob Ira to pay Paul. And let me give you a quick headline just so you understand what I'm talking about.
That's great. That's a great line.
Let me give you the headline here. That IRA, that tax protected, is also creditor protected. In other words, if in the worst case scenario, if you declare bankruptcy and if you lose your home, that could be the only thing you have to build on. And in fact, if it's big enough, you could actually borrow from your own IRA after you lose everything to buy your new home. Now, I'm not saying that you should just go out now and default on everything, but what I am saying to you is that getting out of debt is a combination of reducing expenses and increasing income. The second thing is it's as important or more important that you keep the religious habit of putting 10% of your income into your tax-protected retirement accounts, because that's going to be your only lifeline. That is pierce-proof. It's better than any corporation. You know, people always think, oh, I'll set up this corporation and I'll be protected in case this happens or that happens. Your retirement plan is protected the best. And let me just give you one example. Do you remember when O.J. Simpson, before he got jailed more recently, but he had a judgment against him for $33 million, and he's out there living the life of Riley in Florida playing golf and all that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was able to do that is that they could not attach his retirement account. That's a very important lesson for people to know. Do not rob. Of course, the credit card and the bill collectors are going to tell you, pay this off, and they're going to hound you, and they're going to call you every single day, and you're going to feel pressurized to do it. Don't rob from IRA to pay them.
Got it. Okay. The Thrive budget. Is that part of all of this in, you know, setting things up appropriately so that you can thrive? Could you talk just a tiny bit about your Thrive budget? I love your Thrive budget.
Thank you. That's what we play on the beach at my retreat. It's the billionaire game.
Do you want to talk about that or not really, since it's part of the retreat?
No, I'm happy to talk about it. In fact, the billionaire game is outlined, and the Thrive budget is outlined in my book, You Versus Wall Street. So I highly encourage you to read it. But it's different playing it by yourself and actually playing it in this retreat setting, because I'm able to help course correct people. And basically, this is it. When I was a single mom and I had my home, and my salary alone could not cover the expenses. It was just a fact of the matter. And it was a two-bedroom condo in a very nice neighborhood in Santa Monica. I couldn't rent out another bedroom. You know, I mean, I had a son. We couldn't sleep in the same bedroom. So I had to dramatically rethink my life. Cutting out coffee lattes wasn't going to help it. And what I did because I found another single mom, and we got a four-bedroom in a better neighborhood where he could go to a public school that was as good as a private school. It reduced my expenses. It gave me another parent in the home to help watch the kids. You know, we weren't getting married or anything, but it was a way of reducing expenses dramatically and mm-hmm. having the opportunity to increase income. So the Thrive budget for some people is going to be that dramatic course correction. And for other people, it's a mental thing. Like I have other people who come to the retreat and they'll say, you know, they'll be looking at all the allocations I'm saying, and I say, you know, you need to invest, you need to be charitable, you need to educate yourself, and you need to have fun. And they'll say, and then your basic needs have to be less than 50%. And they'll say, well, I want my home is 10% of my fun. I want to spend a little more on basic needs because it's really my fun. And I say, that's very good. It's fine. I'm not here to define what's fun for you, but I will say this. If you're spending an extra 10% on your home, enjoy your home and stop complaining that you don't go on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
If it isn't fun, it can't be in the fun part of your budget. And right. If it is fun, then stop complaining. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. What does this mean? The hare wins the dash, Jabba the Hutt rules the universe.
Ooh, I like that. And this is key. This is key for anybody to know in their nest egg. The basic thing that I teach in my retreats, which makes it possible for you to profit even in this crazy marketplace, if you were just buying and holding and you were just investing in one big fat mutual fund, you lost money over the last 10 years. If
oh, yeah.
you were diversified, if you had a percent equal to your age safe, and that would be not invested in stocks at the time. We have to mention something about bonds and bond funds. That's really important. But at the time, a couple years ago, bonds and bond funds were very safe, and they performed magnificently throughout the Great Recession. So if you kept a percent equal to your age safe in at that time, bonds and bond funds, and you diversified the other half, your stock holdings, or you know, if you were 50, it would be half, and if you were 25, it would be 75%. In small, medium, large, value and growth, and four hot industries, you rebalanced it annually, you would be making more than 10% over the last 10 years. You would have done great. Now, the reason for that is that Jabba the Hutt and the hare thing. Small cap stocks tend to perform better than large cap stocks in general. So what I say is they're smaller and they can run faster. They're also a little more vulnerable. Like in bad times, the large cap stocks, and I call them the Jabba the Hutts, they tend to add the stability to your portfolio. So you want to have both, but they perform differently. And that's why you need to make sure that you have small cap growth and small cap value, as well as large cap growth and large cap value. And they can't just be in one big mutual fund, because otherwise you can't see and capture your gains. And if I can give you one more just quick example, a lot of people are really hot on gold, right? Well, gold made 26% return, so it was a good return. Small cap stocks were 40% return. If you were invested in nanotechnology stocks, many of those were small and medium stocks, 60% return. And remember how I talked about those four hot industries? A couple of the hot industries I was recommending were natural resources and Australia and New Zealand. Australia stocks were 80% return, and the natural resources, especially if they were in Latin America, doubled. So by having some of these allocations, and you learn all about that at the retreat, and then seeing and capturing your gains once a year, you can really make a lot of money, whether it's a boom or a bear marketplace.
What about real estate, Natalie? Can you speak to that? Where do you think we are in terms of real estate now in investing in real estate?
I like that one. Well, we are going to see another 2.5 million homes foreclosed this year, same amount projected next year, and 2 million in 2012. So the real recovery will not occur, you know, until 2013. But having said that, interest rates are so low. that can kind of offset it, because when you think of how much money you really spend on a house, it's not usually just the principal buy. It's how much it costs you to finance it. So, in fact, and on day three of the retreat, we talk only about how to get safe. In fact, buying a cash positive hard asset like income property in a great neighborhood where, you know, the fundamentals are very strong, that might be safer than bond funds and treasury bills. So we have to start looking at real estate in a different way. It is possible. You can't look at it in a three-year period like, oh, well, if I don't like this place in 3 years, I'll just sell it, because it is possible that the value of the property will go down based on the fundamentals of all the foreclosures. Mm-hmm. However, the cost of financing it, provided you really do a very strong cost-benefit analysis and you include all the variables, that could actually be safer, and it could be beautiful. And if you can get a fixed loan on it, you know, that could be amazing, because, you know, it's very unlikely that we're going to have 4%, you know, interest rates to borrow off of in 5 years.
Well, and right now here in Maine, I know that a lot of people are looking into that, because oceanfront property is coming up for sale, and that is usually always in demand by a certain population. And right now, because it's often a second home, people are needing to get rid of them. So I was wondering, and maybe the same in California, I'm not sure, but
Finally, in Maine, we're starting to see, we've really lagged behind the rest of the country. Finally, uh-huh. In Maine, in the past probably 6 months or so, we're seeing something sit. Lots of refinancing going on, but the higher end homes sitting. There was a house down the corner.
You mean not
moving.
Not selling.
Not selling, just sitting. There have been homes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for, you know, in the $650,000 on up around here are sitting for as much as a year or two.
Aren't
moving.
With regard to real estate, the only thing I can tell you is make sure you have a 10-year plan and make sure that plan makes sense, given the fact that it's possible real estate will go down in value until 2013. Maybe, and it's all regional. Look, real estate dropped a lot more in Detroit than it did in Maine. And so, you know, it's very regional. You have to know what's the industry that underlies my community and who are the buyers. In California, you know, we're always going to have international buyers. It's a completely different looking marketplace than the rest of the world. At the same time, we have all these hazards, earthquakes, fires, floods, and I can attest to this having been a homeowner in California. You know, we sometimes are waiting for the locusts to come. It can be so bad.
That's funny. All right, I have some more. I want to take it back to the basics for just a little bit for the people listening who are really not well versed in some of the terms that you might be using. Some people don't know what a small cap stock is, or a large cap stock, or a bond, or a T-bill, or treasury, you know, all that stuff. Can you take a moment to either recommend a place to go to read about that, or maybe take a moment and give us a quick crash course on a few things that are must-knows?
Yeah, I'll tell you. And again, I'm not saying that I wish I had retreats for a million people. And in fact, I'm going to be partnering with the university to turn this into an e-learning curriculum. But the basic truth is just come to a retreat, because reading about it is one thing and actually doing it is another. So at the retreat, and let me just give you an example. I had a woman and she was getting a divorce and she was going to inherit her ex-husband's broker. So she was really afraid, you know, and she wanted to learn this, but she was also afraid that she couldn't learn it because she didn't know any of the language. So she signed up for the retreat. The day before the retreat, she tried to call and cancel. We're like, I'm sorry, you can't cancel this play, you know.
Because she's afraid
came
of enough
the
of the term.
That's how scared she was. She came to the retreat. Yeah. The first day, she was crying most of the day. And she wasn't crying because of what she was learning. She was crying because she was afraid she couldn't learn it. we kept working with her. And listen, the retreat is I give 5 minutes of instruction, and then you work with it so that you're really understanding it from, oh, I want to change my portfolio, from your own way, with your own money. That adds a lot of weight to it, to the learning. And by day three, when I said, okay, let's just make sure that we all know what we're doing here. Let's get a recap. Who can tell me what we're supposed to do? What's modern portfolio theory and how should our portfolio be set up? And that woman, her arm shot in the air, and she said, well, I would like to say that I know all of this. We need modern portfolio theory so we can properly rebalance our portfolio annually to capture gains. And we want to have the hares, which are the small caps, and we need value and growth because the value stocks are the ones that are on sale. And the growth stocks are the ones that are increasing in earnings, like Apple and Google. And I mean to tell you, I think everybody was about to have a heart attack in the room.
That's a great story.
I loved it. And in fact, she ended up going on to found the Green Goddess Investment Club with Brianna. So yes. This is the key, is that you kind of need a foundation first. And then from there, start building it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to start just by reading, I would recommend finra.org. I would also recommend my website, nataliepace.com. And you can sign up for 30 days free. You'll see a navigation bar on the homepage that says calendar section, join now. And there you can sign up for 30 days free and check it out. And it's very affordable. It's per month, our subscription costs are about the same as if you were buying, People Magazine or Vanity Fair. But FINRA.org is the broker-dealer regulators, and they have an excellent investor education site. But I will say, most people don't learn by reading. Most people really need to know how to actually apply it. And that's why it's important to get this education. And the only way really to get it, modern portfolio theory, et cetera, unless you want to go back to the university, and yes, you could get it there, is to come to a retreat. And then it's done. And then you can set it up, and it'll be on autopilot. And then you can have an investment club that you found. And even if you just get together once a month to read and discuss, that could be really powerful.
So, Katie, I think we know where we're going to spend our little February break, huh?
Sounds good to me, I'll tell you.
I'm married
to an MBA, and so last night I was asking him some questions, and oh my God, it was like he was going on and on and on, and he lost me at the first three sentences. So I do think it sounds wonderful to be able to sit for a few days with people who have the patience to teach you the right way, how to better understand. Can you speak to what an investment club really does? I'm really not sure. I've heard all different perspectives on what an investment club might be or do. Can you talk about that, Natalie?
Yeah, I'm happy to. First thing is, if you are interested in joining an investment club or starting one, there's a chapter in my book on that. So read that chapter. And if you want further information on agreements and et cetera like that, you can always email us, info@nataliepace.com. We have some resources we can help you with. But in general, an investment club, if you're starting it, can be whatever you want. You're starting it. You're the thing. It could be like a book club that's focused on investment reading and discussions, or it could actually be a club where you're getting together and you're pooling some of your money and investing together. Both of them can be very effective depending on what your goals are. And that's the key, is that if you're starting an investment club, you want to have your own goals. And if you read the chapter in the book, it really will help you to understand it. If it's like a reading club or a book club, it's really easy because it's just basically getting together once a month, probably having a meal with people you like, and talking about how to empower yourself financially. And there are so many books out there on investments where you could say, well, I liked this one, or I thought this guy was really full of crap or whatever, you know. And that can be so empowering, even just that. And that's easy, you know. That's something you could start tomorrow with your friends. You don't even really need an agreement because there's no money being pooled. But others do pool their money. And I actually, when I was starting my business, I incubated, I did my beta testing with an investment club of soccer moms. And by the way, those ladies in their first year, their first 18 months, they doubled their money. That was in 2002.
Wow.
That's when I knew I had something. And you know what? We were only putting in $100 a month. We figured that we would put in $100 a month because we could blow that on a massage.
That's,
so
that's
we,
what I wanted to ask you. Was how, when you investment club, when I think of the words investment club, I think millions. You're not talking so Katie and I could get together and form the Katie and Elizabeth Investment Club, and we could put in just $100 a month.
Everybody could. That's, I think the goddesses, that's what they do, the green goddesses. And by the way, their goal is to have their assets increase to the point where they can actually invest in income property, green sustainable income property. So, I mean, yeah, it could be great. But you know, read the book first, because it does give some key tips on how to pick members, which
can
be really key.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you don't want someone who forgets to tip as part of your member. You know, someone that's such a penny pincher. You know what I mean? You know those people you go to meals with and they say that they're gonna pitch in their part, but they always forget tax and tip, which is like 35% of the bill.
Oh,
geez. Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, we do.
We do. You want people that know how to. You need people that know how to add, and you don't want penny pinchers.
Got it.
When
you
say
put your money where your heart is, do you by any chance mean shoes?
Well, yes. That's right. Budget is full of a lot of areas of fun, and shoes are fun for a lot of us.
I have a feeling though
that's not
really what you mean.
No, it totally is. Look, cars are fun for guys. You know, they always say, hey, well, I want to own a Ferrari. Well, that's cool. You know, there's only about 30,000 of that you can justify as a basic need, and the rest of it has to be fun for you. And if it is, hey, why not, you know? I think shoes are very, very fun, but they are not. They're investments in success. I do think that I have an article I write usually once a year called Shopping for a Promotion. And you really have to look the part for the job you want. So I do believe in shoes.
Okay.
But,
I just wanted to double check, because we can't have you back again if you don't believe in shoes, because we're kind of like shoe hounds. But I'm thinking, Katie, that maybe that money that we spend on shoes, we could invest.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking it's a great name for our investment club, too. We can call
shoes.
It the Shoe Lovers or something like
that. The Serious. Now,
yeah.
It's on Business Buzz. The theory would be that we could eventually buy more shoes?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And that would be incentive.
Hey, I have a girlfriend. You're going to die about this one. I have a girlfriend who started a major nonprofit organization because she was in Milan surrounded by 12 bags of shoes and decided that she had enough.
Yep.
So
well, and that brings me to... Yes. That brings me to my next question, Natalie. When you talk about nonprofits, since I run a nonprofit, I'm curious, investment policies for nonprofits, are they different or similar to investing as an individual?
Well, that's more of a tax question. The reason I say that is that a lot of extremely wealthy individuals use their nonprofit foundations as a way of preserving wealth and fueling that. So that's really something that you're going to have to ask an accountant. And tax laws change year to year. And that, you know, for the super wealthy, that's a way of both giving back and preserving wealth. So let's just say that. In terms of the average individual, donating to charity or setting up their own foundations and or nonprofits, you know, it's hard to set up your own nonprofit. It's actually expensive to set up your own nonprofit. So a lot of people that I know, especially now that funding has gone scarce, especially for the smaller nonprofits. Did you see the Celebrity Apprentice a few years, I think it may have been 2 years ago with Cyndi Lauper in it?
Yeah.
And she had basically gone to an existing foundation, and then the money that she was donating was going to have her name on it. But she doesn't have to administer it. She went to an organization that she already believed in, and because she was going to be giving them such a high profile, they named, you know, that part of the giving after her. So it became the True Colors Fund of XYZ Foundation. So that's what I would recommend, is that people really look into that, because it's almost no limit to what you can give as an individual. Again, tax laws change year to year, and it is, you know, it is tax deductible, but of course it's not a dollar for dollar, but it's really important.
Well, I was actually thinking, as a nonprofit, investing the funds of the nonprofit into diverse funds, et cetera. And would you follow, like, if I went to the retreat and wanted to learn more about that, would it follow the same process?
Yes, and I'll tell you, I'm gonna go at this another angle, and I want to tell you a small story about this. What I teach is, let's make games. Let's have profits. And your tax accountant, his job or her job is to get that as tax protected as possible. So, for instance, if you have a 401k and you make capital gains in there because you do such fantastic investments off of my magic pie charts, you don't pay taxes. For some people, that's almost 30% gain right there. So the key is always going to be maximizing your tax-protected accounts within which you can trade. And by the way, we have to have another show talking about health savings accounts, okay? Let's talk about that at another show. That's a huge piece of the puzzle. Now, but in terms of what I teach at the retreat, what we're really focused on is making your money make money for you across all assets. So we talk about real estate, stocks, bonds, gold, and other hard assets. And in fact, a key component now, and this should be a red flag, muni bonds have already taken their dip, and it's all about debt. There's way too much leverage in the debt going on right now, which makes bonds, particularly muni bonds, very vulnerable. A lot of other professionals are focused on, well, we're in deflationary environment, interest rates are low, bonds are good. They're not good. The Greece situation, the Irish situation, this should be a red flag for bondholders. When countries, municipalities, and corporations and or revenue bonds, when they cannot refinance their debt when it comes due, that becomes a potential default situation. You don't get advance notice on that. So it's really important to know what's safe, how to get safe, and that sort of thing. We focus a full day at the retreat on just that. So my goal here is to make sure that you make gains. Your accountant's goal should be that you are, as much as possible, those gains are tax protected, because that can really add up for you.
Okay. I wanted to take a moment and just let everybody know that we're chatting with Natalie Pace, the author of You Versus Wall Street, in case you're just joining us. And you can visit Natalie Pace on her website at nataliepace.com. And we've talked about her Get Rich and Enrich retreats, which did you say the early bird deadline is December 15th, or that's the final deadline is December 15th? And where can you go to register for that?
Okay, the early bird deadline is December 15th, and it's not the final deadline. However, the last retreat sold out within 24 hours of that deadline. Plus, for your listeners, and I think they should really value this, that 50-minute private call with me is worth over $600. That 21-day coaching call series worth over $600. It's not available anywhere else. I don't have enough time to give, you know, everybody the opportunity to have a private call with me. So this is very limited. And also, let me tell you one more thing about the retreat. This is probably the last opportunity that I will have to give an intimate retreat. This is 12 people in a boardroom. Normally, in the past, and definitely in the future, I teach to 50 to 100 people minimum. That means same learning. It's still going to help you, but no one-on-one access in the big retreats. And because I'm starting to develop this e-learning curriculum with universities, this is probably the last boardroom retreat. So it's really key. Go to nataliepace.com. You'll find out more information at the Get Rich and Enrich banner ad, or call me at 866 476-7442 or email info@nataliepace.com.
Okay. With about 15 minutes left, I was wondering if you might want to either pick a topic that you would like to talk about, or I thought maybe we could talk about one of my favorites, which is the top 11 investing mistakes. But if you had something, I really love that, but if you had something new or exciting or totally and completely different that you wanted to talk about, I'm totally fine with that, and we love to learn. So go for
it. Well, I think I'm an and person. I like doing both. How about if we do both? I would love to have an opportunity to talk about health savings accounts, but let's talk about
let's do that then.
Mistakes. Do you want to do that first, or give your two favorite investing mistakes?
Let's do HSAs first, because I think that's probably way more relevant. And people can see the other things in an article on Best Ever You or whatever, because we've written about this before. But on HSAs, I have one of those. Our whole family has an HSA account. They're really confusing. Are they worth it? Should we just have the regular old health insurance? Help.
Oh, I love this question. And just FYI, also, the top 11 investing mistakes is a chapter in You Versus Wall Street.
Yeah.
And it's really short, and it's very easy to read, and it's critically important. Please read it. Okay, so health savings accounts. The really great thing about them is that if you do not need to go to your doctor, you get to keep the money, and that can be invested, and it becomes part of your retirement. So, yes.
We love it. That's why we did it, because none of us, knock on wood, go to the doctor very much, and so it's a savings plan for us.
Absolutely. And, I mean, how many people do we know who really use a lot of natural cures, alternate treatments? You know, they'd rather, if they get sick, they're going to try to battle it and then boost their immune system, da-da-da. Well, for those people, now, if you're really sick, it may not be the best choice because, you're obviously going to need to go to the doctor. But if you're really healthy and your family is very focused on natural cures and beefing up and focusing on health, it can be a great reward. So what you basically do is you get the catastrophic coverage, and in order to make it so that you can actually meet those deductibles and those co-pays in case you need it, you have this health savings account. And it can be maxed. You know, you'll have to go to irs.gov and do a search on health savings accounts to get the exact number, and also if you're, using any of the software programs for your taxes, they help you with that, as would any accountant.
We maxed out our savings for the year. I think our savings for the year in that particular account was $7,500, and I went to go put another $1,500 in, and they sent my check back.
The bank, that's good.
Yeah, with a note, you've maxed out for the year, honey, kind of thing. But how cool is that to be able to save that money?
Oh, my God. But even better, you can invest it. So this is another key piece of the puzzle that I think people should realize as well, is that don't just think that you have to go to a bank or this or that. Like, really shop around so that you have, because some HSAs that you set up, and by the way, it's not the health savings account structure, it's where you put it. So you might put it with your local bank, and they only give you 7 or 8 choices to invest with, whereas if you went to an online discount broker to set up your HSA, you would have a universe of stock. Let's say you invested in my 2009 company of the year, and your $7,500 would now be worth 12 times that, because it's gone up 12 times in since last year.
All right,
and
we'll have to talk about that.
It's not taxed.
I know. It's the coolest thing.
And it
all
stays
right
in there. Go ahead.
So HSA stands for Health Savings Accounts. Account.
Yes.
And that's versus their traditional health insurance. And basically, as you can explain it better than me, but general gist is you take money and you put it in an account like you're saving it. And then when you go to the doctor, in our case, we have almost like a MasterCard and to pay for any kind of doctor's fees or prescriptions or things like that. And you just give them the credit card and they take it right out of the account.
Well, actually, the health savings account has to be done in conjunction with catastrophic insurance.
Right.
Because that so that's the big deal. But but you're right in that it'll feel like you're just paying for it because catastrophic insurance usually has really high deductibles, $2,500 deductible, et cetera. But the good news is, again, if you – and look, I haven't been to the doctor since I had a baby, you know, and I'm not even going to say how long ago that was. So I'm just telling you, for a lot of Americans, a lot of healthy people, this is great because that's going to be less than half of what you're paying on your insurance. Yes, you have that huge deductible, but the health savings account is intended to be enough to cover it. And if you don't need it, then next year you can put in another $7,500 in there each year. And that, by the way, is that comes off of, that's tax deductible too. And all the gains you make, that just increases. Let's say you had $10,000, it goes up 12 times. All of a sudden you have $120,000. If you were paying taxes on that, you know, you would be giving up a third of it to the government.
Yep.
But in that tax-protected account, in 1 year, it's grown to $120,000. That's huge.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so with now we have 9 minutes to go. Now let's shift over to those top 11 investing mistakes. And you asked me to pick two of them, and I'm looking at the book right here, and I'm actually having trouble, and you have them memorized. But I guess one mistake I saw when I worked at I've worked at several investment firms and so forth throughout my financial career is keeping too much stock in your employer's company. I have seen people taken down by that one, where they sit and work and work and work, and they're there for 25 years, and every paycheck rolls around, and they sock it in the company stock, and then one day the company goes bust, and oops.
Yeah, that was the big sad thing about Enron.
Right.
You know, the companies do it, and they make it real easy and affordable for you to want to do it, and it helps to beef up their stock on Wall Street, so it makes them look bigger and better. And so, I mean, that's why the company's incentive to do it. But these are not my guidelines. These are ERISA guidelines. You really shouldn't have more than 10% of your company stock in your portfolio. The way I do it in the pie chart, I don't think that you should really consider any individual company as part of your nest egg unless you're Warren Buffett. So once you get to the point where you can evaluate the company and the health of the company, then it can – now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have any stock in your company. It just means that I don't want you to consider that as part of your retirement. It's too high risk. Like, the reason you have funds is you've got 100 companies. So if one company goes belly up, the other company is Google, it's gone up – you know, it's doubled. So that's just – it's just, again, it's a different way of thinking of it. And, again, when your expectation of an investment is in line with what the investment can actually do, your return potential is significantly magnified. So if you look at a high-risk investment and you're saying, hey, I'm willing to lose everything on this because I really think it will bang, it's got a good bang for it, that's different than – you know, how you feel if it's part of your retirement, which is that, oh, my God, what if it loses money? And that mentality is a money loser because the first sign of trouble, you'll sell it low.
Right. And speaking of selling low, there's buying low and selling high, but buying low doesn't necessarily mean buying bankruptcy. My husband drives me nuts with this. I just want to say, oh, stop already. But, you know, he'll say, oh, this company's in trouble. We better buy it. And I'm like, oh, you're killing me. Can you explain that at all, that thinking?
Well,
not his thinking. Good luck. No,
oh,
I love
yeah.
him, but.
Bankruptcy buying is not just, let's just say this. If you're not a Carl Icahn, don't do it, and that's just it, okay? But we don't need to – I mean, what can I tell you about it? Bankruptcies, common stock, 99.9% of the time becomes wallpaper. Don't do it, period.
Okay.
Just don't do it. If you're Carl Icahn and you can purchase a lot of stock and have it convertible into debt – and hold everybody a rope around the chairman of the board's neck if they don't do what they say you want them to do, that's a whole different thing.
What's a sure shot And why would that be a mistake? Taking a sure shot.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked me this one. And in fact, let me say, I think there's a huge difference in gender other than the fact that men can't bear children. I think we're fueled
really?
By different hormones.
Yeah.
You know, I think we really are fueled by different hormones. So I think that this is one that men fall prey to far more than women. There was a study out a few years ago that women speak 3 times the amount of words in 1 day that a man does. And
mm-hmm.
when you think
Absolutely.
About it,
yep.
we always complain that we ask too many questions. Why are you asking so many
yep.
questions?
Yep.
Well, that's an asset in investing. I say an investment is like a puzzle. And let's say it's a 100-piece puzzle. The more tiles you turn over, the clearer the picture of health of the company. So a sure
mm-hmm.
shot is where your broker or your best friend or the guys at the poker table or the guys at the country club or the girls at the country club say, I have information on this. Yeah, or email spam. I have information on this company, and it's going to do this, and when that happens, it's going to go through the roof, and you better get in right now. And honestly, if there's a high level of trust, a guy is more likely to fall for it than a woman is, because a woman
yep.
will ask more questions.
Yep. All right.
That's true. That's definitely true. Yep.
Definitely. Panicking or swooning over front page headlines is a mistake. Now, why would that be a mistake?
Well, let me tell you this. One morning, not too long ago, I woke up when the markets opened. I was on the West Coast, so that was pretty early. And I just put up a website, a money website, and then I went and I took a shower, and I had breakfast. And I came back, and I didn't realize I had that window open, and I opened another window and put up that same money website. Okay. The headline at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time was, new home sales stall, markets drop. And the headline at 8:30 was, new home sales look better than expected, market rallies.
Bummer for you.
Same data.
Yeah.
So let me put it in a nutshell for everybody. If it's making headlines, you're late. The key, and that's been really the key to my success, in the book, You Versus Wall Street, I teach you how to do a stock report card, and I teach you how to ask 4 questions. 4 questions, 3 out of 4 you can answer as a consumer. When you answer these questions, you're not looking for what's going on with the company right now, although that's a piece of the puzzle. You're actually looking for, is this company poised to lead the market in the future? And the stock report card and the 4 questions taken together do that. In fact, that's day 2 of what we learn at the retreat. You can read about it in the book as well.
Yeah.
Now, the key to this is, it takes less time to put together a stock report card and ask those 4 questions, and you have the whole picture, almost, of the investment, almost all of the 100 tiles by looking at the stock report card and asking the 4 questions. If you're reading an article, it's like reading 1 tile, and it's only the news that day, and they are not considering anything and anything else but the news. Let me give you a quick example. General Motors was owing over $100 billion at the time that it was bailed out by Hank Paulson and just months before it declared bankruptcy. So even if it said, oh, they've sold more cars, that would make headlines. Or, oh, they might have a profitable quarter. That makes headlines. There
yeah.
were no headlines on $100 billion in debt. And if you had that piece of the puzzle, you would have known that having a $100 million profit was not going to prevent that bankruptcy. And, in fact, I outlined that as an example of the 4 questions in the book. I compared Google with General Motors. I wrote that chapter in 2006,
yeah.
and I predicted that GM would go bankrupt in 2006, 3 years
yep.
before it did, based solely on the stock report card and the 4 questions.
So on that note, we know how good you are. We thank you so much, because we have only 30 seconds left, and I want to make sure to talk about your website and your book again. Please visit nataliepace.com. There is a banner on her website to sign up for her Enrich and Enrich and Get Rich Retreat. You can also buy Natalie's book, You Versus Wall Street. You can call her, you can email her, you can just go to nataliepace.com, and we thank you so much for being with us today, and we look forward to having you on the show regularly. It'll be a blast.
Thanks, ladies. You guys, I love what you do. Thanks for bringing Best Over You to the world.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.